in the book of John chapter 6, when the 5,000 pursue after Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ tried to guide them to pursue something more valuable. And what's that? After they eat the bread multiplied by Jesus, they pursue after Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ guide them into a more valuable pursuit. What's that? Yeah, 27. Oh. Anybody read it? Yeah, do not pursue the food which will perish. Means our focus should not only pursue the blessing of God in this world, but we have to pursue the food which will have eternal life. Oh. And the food which has eternal life is what? Jesus Christ Himself. He said, I am the true bread. Right. So, Jesus Christ tried to guide the disciple. Instead of pursuing the blessing, we had to pursue the one who gives blessing. What's that? Jesus Christ Himself. Oh. So if our faith only focuses on the blessing of Jesus, our faith will collapse. If our faith focuses on Jesus Himself, the one who gives blessing, then our faith can survive. The conclusion is this. So if we only pursue Jesus because of His blessing, one day our life is very easy, very simple, right? Nothing wrong. I'm not sick. I earn a lot of money. Then you can see our faith become lukewarm because we lack that kind of motivation already. But if our faith is to pursue Jesus Christ Himself, right? We know the value of Jesus Christ. And we pursue after Jesus Christ, then that kind of faith will never fail because we pursue after Himself. Oh. And that kind of faith is considered built with the true material. Pursue Jesus Christ Himself. Oh. Okay. Now we're going to the next one. Now. Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 to 21. First Corinthians chapter 4:14-21. I do not write this thing to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Jesus Christ I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So you read from verse 14 to 17. Can you come up with a conclusion? What's the difference of spirituality of children begotten through faith? Which means the children begotten through faith, you look into their spirituality, there are two different types of spirituality. Can you find out from these three verses? Okay, the first one is talk about 15, the end of 15. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you. What does that mean? The members in Corinth were the children of Paul, right? In gospel. What does that mean? Paul preached the gospel to them. So later on, they received the gospel and been baptized into Jesus Christ. So Paul treated the member in Corinth like a children begotten by the gospel. Oh, so this is first one. And verse 17, for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. So the second type of the children begotten by faith, like Timothy. And when you compare the Timothy and the member in Corinth, what's the difference? When we compare the faith of Timothy and the faith of the member in Corinth, what's the difference? There's a lot of difference, right? If we read the 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, we know that the church in Corinth has a lot of problem. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, Paul mentioned that I cannot consider you as a spiritual. And you are carnal, and you are just a baby, and you cannot take the solid food. You only drink the milk, and you are immature. So even everybody is a children of God. Some, their faith is like the member in Corinth, still a baby, not mature enough. And some of the faith is like Timothy, already very mature. Alright? When Paul chose Timothy, according to 2 Timothy, right? Timothy was well versed about the Bible. He had a sincere faith. Second, when Paul chose Timothy, he was well spoken of. He had a good reputation. He had sincere faith. He had a good reputation. Right? When Paul chose Timothy, and Timothy already mature enough, he was waiting to suffer for Christ. But on the contrary, Mark, right, chosen by Paul, after he followed Paul a little bit, a period of time, he just deserted Paul and went back to his own former life. Why? Because it's too painful. He had to sacrifice too much. The Timothy considered a very mature one. So, as the children begotten through gospel, you can see some people are very mature, some people are like a baby. The same thing in the church. Some people are very mature and can become a teacher, like a Timothy. And some people are very immature, and like a baby, like a church in Corinth. Right? And so you can see that because their spiritual status is like an infant. So there are so many problems in the church of Corinth. First, there were division. Some say I belong to Paul, some say I belong to Apollo, some say I belong to Peter, and some say no, I belong to Jesus Christ. There was a division. And then, if you look into chapter 5, in the church of Corinth, there was a sexual immorality. They even married the stepmother, the father's wife. And this is a very serious sin. And in chapter 6, the church in Corinth, they even have a lawsuit to the court in Gentile. In whatsoever reason, if anybody brings a lawsuit, the same church member brings a lawsuit to court in the society, is not right in the teaching of the Bible. Why? Because the reason is, in the future, we will become a judge together with Jesus Christ to judge the people in the world. So in the presence of God, we are like a judge, like a king. And how come the people of God cannot judge themselves and want to present the case to the Gentile? So this kind of behavior already proves it's immature, like a baby, spiritually. Probably the watery, from the watery perspective, there are a lot of reasons we do so. But if we look into the reason, right? The reason we should not file lawsuit to our beloved brother to the watery court. The first reason, because we will judge the world. The second reason is what? Verse 7. Chapter 6, verse 7. Therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to the law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourself be cheated? So these are two reasons, right? Why don't you accept the wrong and consider yourself to be cheated? Why? Because if you suffer for the sake of righteousness, God will bless you. That is the reason. So the church in Corinth is very worldly. And chapter 6 talk about the church in Corinth had a lot of unrighteous deeds there. Yeah. So Paul urged them to be holy. Right? And then from chapter 8, you can see the members eat the food which have been offered to the idol. So Paul urged them, you should not do that, because when you have a holy communion, you partake holy communion, you have fellowship with God, then you should not partake the food being offered to idol. And then chapter 11, the church had confusion because veils ahead. Chapter 11, when they partake the Holy Communion, they never prepare themselves ready to partake it. So some even die. Chapter 12 onwards, they talk about even there are many different kind of gifts, but the church become chaotic because there is no order there. Chapter 15 talk about some people preach a heresy. There is no resurrection. Preach a heresy in the church and talk about no resurrection. So in the church of Corinth, there are so many problems, right? So the children begotten by God in gospel, begotten in gospel, right? Some are mature, some are immature. Now, what should we do when we want to serve God? What should we do? That exactly what this passage is trying to tell us. So we come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 to 21. I do not write this thing to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. You know, if we really love our children, right, we will not publicly put our children in shame. Right? That's the way we show our love. Even our children are wrong, right? We will warn them privately, but not to expose their shame publicly. So when the church in Corinth had problem, the intention of Paul is not to put them in shame. The intention of Paul is try to warn them so they will return to God to become mature. And so that was the intention of Paul. So the church of Corinth has so many problems. First, Paul had to mention about his relations with the church in Corinth. What kind of relation we have with the church in Corinth? Right? You know, when a young person commits a mistake, if this young person is my children, or if this young children is not my children, the way we deal it will be different. Right? A young person commits something wrong. If the young person is your son, or the young person is not your son, we will deal the person very differently. So before Paul helped the church in Corinth to correct their wrongdoing, Paul has to mention, I'm not only your teacher, I am your father in Christ. Because if I am only your teacher, I'm not your father, the easiest way is what? I bring the justice of God to judge you, to punish you, and let you die. That is the easiest way. But since I am your father, all right, in Christ, I love you. So even you have something wrong, when I come to you, I'm not only a teacher, I'm a father. You know, when I'm a father, even I warn my children, the purpose is not to destroy them. The purpose is to what? Through the warning, the children can come back. So there's a difference. So in the church, it's easy to become an instructor, a teacher. Last week we have teacher seminar, right? How can you become a teacher? You just prepare your heart and come and attend the teacher seminar, and you pass what, the test. You pass the practicum, and then what? You have a certificate, you become a teacher. So to be a teacher, even it's difficult, but it's not too difficult. You only need to be trained and do your best to perform well. But when we try to serve God, to be a teacher is not enough. Why? Because we try to serve God. God is invisible. And how do we serve God? We serve God by helping God's children to grow. We serve God by helping the unbeliever to believe. So even though we serve God, actually we are doing something related to other people every day. Right? Serving God, actually you cannot cut off your touch with any other people. Serving God actually is in touch with people every day. Yeah. Regardless of preaching the gospel or regarding the pastor work. Right? But when we in touch with the true seeker, we are in touch with the members, to be an instructor is not enough. We need to be a father. And that's what servitude is all about. Now, we look into the second question. What kind of characteristic of a father in gospel should have? If we go through chapter 4 from verse 14 to verse 21, what kind of characteristic a father should have? What kind of characteristic? First is love, yes. God, Paul care about the member in Corinth. Alright? So Paul loved them. How about the second one? Second one is what? 14, verse 14. I do not write things to shame you, but my beloved children, I warn you. Warn you means what? Justice. Okay. So there are two characteristics of being a spiritual father. One is we need to have love like Jesus Christ. The second one is we need to have justice like Jesus Christ. Oh. Right. So these are the two requirements to become a father in Christ. Oh. Now we're going to the third question. Right? And how should the father in gospel respond to children's problem? Right? How? How should the father in Christ respond to children's brother? You look into verse 16. Verse 16. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. Oh, so as a father, how should we teach our children? The first is to set a good example for them to learn. Right? This is the first one. So, when we want to serve God, we should behave like a father in Christ. What should we do? First, we have to set good example for them to follow, for the church member, for those who are not spiritual, to follow. They cannot see God. God is invisible. They cannot see Jesus. Jesus is in heaven. But they can see us, the worker of God. So, if we really live a life of role model, it's easy for them to know, oh, as a Christian, we look into the worker, we know what being a Christian should behave. Oh, right. Even in the book of Deuteronomy, you look into Deuteronomy, talk about how should a father teach the children. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 4 and verse 5. Anybody read aloud?
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength.
Okay. And verse 6 and 7, please.
And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up.
Okay. Verse 7, he talks about a father teach the children verbally. But before a father teach the children verbally, what should the father do? Verse 5, what should the father do? Before a father teach the children verbally, what should the father do? Verse 5. Example. Look. You have to love your Lord with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind, right? What does that mean? The example of loving God. Right? We want to teach the children, before we teach them, we have some kind of silent teaching. And that kind of silent teaching is even more powerful, but we teach them verbally. That silent teaching means we set an example for them to imitate. Right? How to love God. All your strength. Every Sabbath, we keep the Sabbaths, right? All your strength. Whatever God wants us to do something for Him, we do our best to do it. All our strength. Right? And then after we have this kind of silent example, and then we couple with the verbal teaching, and that will be very powerful. So, we come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Right. So, verse 16. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me today. We have to think about, right? If you become an RE teacher, what kind of example you have to set so that the RE teacher can imitate you, RE student can imitate you? What kind of example we have to set? There are many, right? First, we keep Sabbath, right? Oh. The second, we live a life of prayer. The third, we live a life of Bible reading. The fourth, we are very actively engaging the servitude in the church. We attend the cleaning, we attend the cooking, we attend the what? RE, we attend, we join whatever servitude I can do. So there are many things we should do and set example for the spiritual children to follow. These are the two characteristics a father should have. Verse 3. How should the father in gospel respond to children's problem? First response we already mentioned, right? Set example. The second is he sent Timothy there, verse 17. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son-in-law, who will remind you of my way in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. So God sent Timothy there to give them verbal instruction. So these two things we should do. Two things the gospel, the father in gospel should respond to children's problem. The first one, set a good example for them. The second one, use the words of God to teach them, to let them know. Whatever you say, you behave in this way is wrong. Alright. These are the two things, at least two things the children should do. The last question, how to develop or mature from being a teacher to become a father? Okay, number four, can you give any example? How to be mature from being a teacher to become a father. How can we change from being a teacher, only give knowledge and then we go, to become really a father, care about them, set example for them, and give them a verbal teaching with love. Right? How can we do so we can mature from being a teacher to become a father? Open discussion. Item number four, being a father. Any question? Let's think about one question. Because we married, so we know the relationship with husband and wife more, or because I know the relationship of member with Jesus Christ more, so I know how to build up my good marriage. Which one is more correct? Do you know my question? Okay. Because I'm married, so it will help me to understand the relationship between Christ and us. Or because I know the relationship between Christ and us, so it will help me to build a better marriage. Which one is correct? First one? Because I'm married, so I know. Through a marriage, I know more about relation between Jesus and us. Or because I know the relation between Jesus and us, so you help me to how to manage the relationship between husband and wife. First one? Second one? Second one. Oh, let's look into which verse? Ephesians, right? Chapter 4. Chapter 5. Huh? If you read 25, anybody read aloud? Chapter 5, verse 25. Hey, anybody read aloud? Hey.
25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her.
Okay, husband, love your wife means this is your goal of love wife, right? And what is a role model? The more role model is Jesus Christ loved the church. And to the point of what? Give up the life. Right? So, the more we understand the love between Jesus Christ and the church, the more we know how to manage our marriage. Right? The same thing, huh? The same thing. The father and children. Oh. The more we know how God love us like a father. We are like a children. The more we understand, right, how to teach our children. You know, right. So the relation between us and God, like a father and children, this is a role model of how should we behave like a father to teach our children. Okay. So, number 4, any discussion, any question? The last one, huh? How to develop mature from being a teacher to become a father? How? Any question about this? No question, we are going to move on a few minutes. Raising the children is a very good experience, right? And it's a very humbling experience. It helps us a lot. So, in the church, how can we transform ourselves from being a teacher to become a father? A few ways. The first way is we study the Bible and to know Jesus Christ as a father. How did Jesus Christ guide us, forgive us, right, and bless us and listen our prayer and helping us, right? Or when we know how Jesus deal with us, he will help us to deal with our children. The first one, right? The second one is what? Through prayer. If we are filled by the love of Jesus Christ, right, then we have more spiritual love to love our children. Then the way we teach our children will be more godly. Now, when we are not filled by the love of Jesus Christ, we love our children sometimes only we love by the love in the world. When you love our children, love in the world means we only care about they are healthy, we only care about they study well, we only care about their future in the world. But if we are filled by the love of Jesus Christ, we will care more about their spirituality. We definitely will do something to improve their spirituality. Because spirituality is the foundation of everything. When our children develop a good spirituality, right, have a good relation with God, then the whole life you don't have to worry about our children. Why? Because God will take care of him or take care of her. And that's the root of being blessed. That is the foundation. So, to be mature from knowing Jesus Christ, and to be mature from being filled with the love of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to number 5. Before we go to number 5, let's see the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Anybody read it? Chapter 2, verse 20. Yeah, take turn. Your turn. You read it? Have you read it? Yeah. Oh, next one. Bye. You are our glory and joy. Right. Well, Paul considered himself like a father. And then the church in Corinth, like a children, because he preached the gospel to them, right? So Paul was a father in faith. So because he loved the church in Corinth, so the church in Corinth became his glory and his joy. So father's glory is in children. Father's joy is in children. Right? The same thing. Oh. And then if we look into chapter 2, verse 19. Yeah, next one, we'll read it. What is our hope as a father? What is your hope? What is your joy? What is the crown of rejoicing? Is not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? So when as a father we are filled by the love of God, what we care about the church member the most is in the day of Jesus' coming, second coming, right? And they were able to stand before God and receive blessing from God. That is what we care the most. And then we can see chapter 2, verse 11. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God, who called you into his own kingdom and glory. Because we are father, though we exhort and comforted and charge the members, just like a father do for the children. Okay, now we're going to the next parable 5. Esther. What does servitude mean? Servitude means we are like an athlete. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. around 24 to 27. Do you not know that those who run a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Right? So serving God is just like an athlete. No. And verse 24 talk about we are joining a race, just like running a marathon, right? And we have to run all the way to the end so that we can obtain the rewards. If we don't run to the end, we cannot receive the rewards. If we fail in the middle, we cannot receive the rewards. Right? So serving God, we have to reach to the end. Right? Serve to the end. So God will be pleased and give us the rewards. So the ultimate goal of the servitude is what? Rewards. We want to reach to before God. And God can comment it, oh, you are my servant, you are well done. You can come into my kingdom to enjoy the everlasting blessing. We have been given a crown of righteousness, a crown of glory. Right? That is the ultimate goal of our servitude. Oh, for a crown. Right? So even though the people who run the marathon, they receive some kind of rewards, praise in the world, but our rewards in heaven is far more glorious than the reward in earth. One day I visited a member, and he showed me he joined the marathon, and he was in... not the first one, not champion. He was in about finishing the running, right? He was about 90-something, right? 90-something, or 900-something, right? So some of church members just laughing, right? How come you look that, put that piece of paper in your wall, right? You are 900-something. Right, if you are the first one you put there, it's fine. And 900 something, you still post that kind of piece of paper there. And then the brother say, you don't know. 30,000 joined the running, do you know? 30,000 people joined the running marathon, what? 28 miles or something. 27 something. Mile. Yeah. 42, huh? Oh, kilometer, yeah. 42 kilometer, about a mile. 26, 27, yeah. 30,000 people joined. He was able to finish within 1,000, which means he overrun about another 30,000 people. So for him, it's a great achievement, right? Oh. So he feel very thankful that he was able to run so fast. Yeah. Right now, our servitude or our heavenly journey is just like an athlete running the marathon. Do you remember in the book of Ecclesiastes, probably Ecclesiastes, the end of the matter is better than the end of a matter is better than what? Than its beginning, right? Right? You run the marathon in the beginning, you run very fast, right? You're just 1 mile ahead of everybody. That's good, right? But it's only beginning. Oh. Well, you run so fast, doesn't mean you can finish the journey. Right? Some people even run very slowly, right? But persistently. Yeah. And eventually the first person becomes the one who wins the first prize. Oh. So serving God like an athlete run a marathon. In the beginning, we serve with full zeal, right? Before everybody comes to church, we already come to church. Before everybody left the church. After everybody left the church, we are still in the church. Oh, that marathon, the first one, right? Oh, very zeal, run very fast. It's good. But if we can last until very long, long time, until we die, that will be considered the one who has finished the race. Suppose I have finished the race. It's not easy. Sometimes a lot of people ask me, hey, when are you going to retire? Anytime the people ask me, then I start to serve. I start to count how many years I've been serving. I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful. But I still have a few years to run. Until 2019, I will serve 40 years. 2019, that means still have how many years to go? 14, 15, 16, 18, 19. I still have 5 years to go. So I'm keeping on praying to God, please give me opportunity I can run to the finish. Right, Moses served for 30 years, 40 years. It's good if you can finish the serving until retirement, but it's not easy. I've been joining the Africa ministry from 1983. There are so many co-workers, one by one, disappear. So I feel very lonely. God, please keep me so I can finish my race. So it's not easy, really. The end of matter is better than its beginning. In order you can run to the end, what should we do? First, we need to have discipline. Second, we have to run by what? According to the rule and regulation. Without discipline, physically you are not fixed. You cannot run to the end. Even physically we are fit. If we don't run by according to the rule, we still cannot get the prize, right? So in the spiritual journey, first we need to be fit, right? Spiritually is fixed, well built, so we can finish the journey. So what should you do? In verse 25. So everyone who compete for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Right? For the prize, compete for a prize is temperate in all things. You know, before a person joins the competition, the person had to go through a very long period of time of training. During the long period of time of training, a lot of time they shall all live together, right? They restrict the time they go back to the family. And under the time of training, they even will design some kind of special diet for them, right? Certain food you cannot take it, certain food you cannot take it. And your life should be disciplined. You get up in which hour, you sleep in what time, what kind of hour, right? And every day you have to go through a certain type of different kind of training. So before a person go into the competition, the person has to go through a lot of practice, training. So you know, when the football, the person win the first place, behind the scene, they have been practicing 100 or tens of thousands of hours. The same thing. Spiritually, when we run, we serve God, we have to go through a very strict training. Use the words of God of training, and just like this kind of training is very, very helpful. We have to pay a price so that we can be well trained. When Jesus traveled choose the 12 disciples, what was the first sentence Jesus tell them? Come and follow me. Right. Before Jesus ascend to heaven, what did Jesus tell the 12 disciples? Go into the world. Right. The first one is come, the last one is go. And between come and go, how long? 3 years. Right. And these 3 years, just follow Jesus Christ for what? Learning. Right. Sleep together with Jesus Christ. Eat together with Jesus Christ. Walk together with Jesus Christ. Work together with Jesus Christ. Right. Whatever Jesus, wherever Jesus go, you just go. Whatever Jesus eat, we just eat. Whenever Jesus sleep, we sleep. Whenever Jesus get up, we get up. Whenever Jesus pray, you pray. Oh, 3 years of training. It's not easy, all right? It's not easy. No. So today, even Jesus Christ is invisible. So what should we do? Spiritual cultivation. And that spiritual cultivation can done through several ways. The first is self-cultivation. The second is group cultivation. The self-cultivation means when you are alone, right? We read the Bible, we meditate, we have self-reflection, we pray by ourselves, we repent, and we determine, and we transform ourselves, right? This is a self-cultivation. And what is a group cultivation? This is a group cultivation. We come to join the seminar. And there's a curriculum designed specifically for a specific purpose. And we joined the seminar. Oh. One day I went to visit a family. The parent is talking about, I observe my children. Every time the children come back from NYTS, always transform a lot, behave very well, treat the parent very nicely and helping the family job. I was very thankful for the family to have this kind of experience. The children attend the training, transform a lot. But lastly, the father say, very unfortunately, cannot last long. That kind of transformation only lasts one week or 2 weeks and go back to the older self. And I just encourage the father, your children come to the church, so your children transformed. But when your children go back to your home, do you know whose responsibility to keep your children continue to be transformed? That's you. Oh. Why? Because family is a small church, right? So when you come to the church has a full-time minister, have a worker to train them. But when your children at home, who train them? It's the parents. It's the father who is the head. All right. Your father cannot watch the TV all day long. You expect your children to pray all day long. Right? It's impossible. If you want children to be transformed, lead your children to pray. Lead your children to study the Bible. Right? Lead your children to live a simple life. Lead your children to live a God-centered life. Lead your children to love God more than anybody else. Use an example, practical action. Right? And live a life centered on Jesus Christ. If we were able to do this, then our children will be able to transform themselves in the family. And so this is so-called training. We need to have to gone through so that we can serve God. We can finish the journey. Go through a very strict training. Live a moderate life, very simple life. Now, that's 28, chapter 10, verse 28. Chapter 9, verse 26. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beat the air. Since we have the goal to finish the journey, then every decision is related to the goal of finishing the journey. Right? Oh, so sometimes I look into the high school students. They want to apply for medical school. Then once they set up the goal, they have to join a lot of extracurricular activity, right? And they have to go through a lot of different kind of classes, classes after classes, right? Internship after internship. Everything just try to build up for a purpose. I want to get a permission to go into the medical school. The same thing. If I want to serve God, to finish the servitude, to finish the journey, then everything I do all eventually will focus on this matter. If anything I do will have a reverse effect, will hinder me from finishing the journey, I'm not going to do it. Oh, right. So the most terrible thing is our life, we have no goal. If we have no goal, we will never move. We can never move forward. If we have no goal, we just satisfied with status quo. If we have no goal, our life, our faith become stagnant. Stagnant, yeah. Stand still. And that kind of faith is lifeless. So you see, some of the members' faith is lifeless. Just routinely, outwardly, physically, formally, join the church. But inside, there is no dynamic faith inside because they don't have a goal there. So it's very important, like an athlete. We have our break and then we'll come back to finish and go into the next topic. Let's pray inside. Amen. Finish.